President Eva Rivera. Also attending the meeting are Assistant City Attorney Gene Jordan, Independent Budget Analyst Charles Monica, Council Affairs Advisor and the Mayor's Office Code Advisor, and myself, your City Clerk, Deanna Pondres.
Thank you for coming to the forum. Do we have any mayor, council, city attorney, IBA, or city clerk comments? All right, hearing none, let's proceed, please.
I will now go over how the public can offer their public testimony during this afternoon's meeting. If you are in person, please complete a speaker slip located at the entrance of chambers and place it on top of the box indicated at the high lectern at the front of the room. Please submit your speaker slip in a timely manner to ensure proper meeting management. If people are ceding you time, please be sure to submit those speaker slips together in order to ensure proper ceding of time. Council ambassadors are available near the entrance of chambers and can assist with questions and speaker slips. No further in-person testimony will be taken once the council begins virtual testimony. If you would like to participate virtually, you can do so via the webinar information found on the agenda cover page. The members of the public who wish to write virtual testimony must enter the virtual queue by raising their hand, by either dialing *9 and press your raise your hand icon before the queue closes. The queue will close when the last virtual speaker finishes speaking or 5 minutes after in-person testimony ends, whichever occurs first. For today's purposes, the meeting will be taken in the following order. Item 200, item 201, item S405, which is an informational item, item S400, followed by non-agenda public comments. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you for pointing. All right, let's please begin with item 200.
Item 200 is the consideration of a proposed ballot measure by Mayor Todd Gloria and Councilmember Raul Campillo for the November 2024 election to establish a 1-cent general purpose transaction and use sales tax by adding Chapter 3, Article 2, Division 1 to the San Diego Municipal Code. Please note, sub item B is not subject to the mayor's veto. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Clerk. Mayor, thank you, Council President. Our team will need approximately 15 minutes for our presentation this afternoon. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, Council President Eloy Rivera and members of the City Council. I stand before you today with a sense of optimism and a determination to create a better future for our beloved city. As your mayor, I have the privilege of witnessing how deeply San Diegans care about their faith and their communities better and their hard work that they're willing to put in to make that possible. And they want to know that their city is their partner and that as leaders that we want as much for their neighborhood as they do. I have never been more convinced that that is the case, and never more hopeful that we can all unite behind a common vision for progress. That's why today I'm pleased to join Councilmember Raul Campillo to bring forward for your consideration a bold initiative that has the potential to enhance the quality of life for every resident of this city. It is the opportunity to address the long-standing shortages that have been around for decades and have held our city back and cause our infrastructure and public assets to fall into disrepair. As you know, we have spent years cataloging our problems and deficiencies. We have study upon study telling us precisely what we need to do in order to deliver the streets, the storm drains, parks, and libraries, as well as the police, fire, and lifeguard services that San Diego expects and deserves. It's time to take that data and to take action. The item before you today is
going to if I could do that. Folks, we're not going to do this where we're going to be interrupting speakers and interrupting presenters. So that's going to be the first warning for interruptions. Mayor, please proceed.
Thank you, sir. Time is now to take that data and to take action. And the item before you this afternoon is the opportunity to do just that. Colleagues, together, I believe that we can build a city that not only functions, but thrives. Not just for the present generation, but for generations to come. Together, I believe that we can realize that collective vision for San Diego. So let's not waste more time dreaming, planning, and studying. And instead, let's make the changes that we know we must make. Let's roll up our sleeves and work together to deliver on San Diego's great promise for all who call it home. So today, I respectfully request your support for this item, and now I'll turn it over to Michael Simonson, the Chief of Staff and Councilmember Raul Campillo, for the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Gloria. Council President Eloy Rivera, members of the City Council, again, my name is Michael Simonson, Chief of Staff to Councilmember Campillo, and with me today is Matt Yagan, Director of Policy for Mayor Gloria. Council Policy 00-21 establishes procedures for the submittal of ballot proposals to the City Council by members of the public, council members, the mayor, or mayoral departments, independent department directors, or a public agency. We're here this afternoon to present on the proposed ballot measure by Mayor Gloria and Councilmember Campillo to establish a 1 cent general purpose transactions and use or sales tax by adding Chapter 3, Article 2, Division 1 to the San Diego Municipal Code. A 1 cent general sales tax measure will allow the city to enhance the delivery of core neighborhood services while reversing its decades-long trend of underfunding important infrastructure assets that become even more expensive to repair over time. At the last Rules Committee meeting on June 5th, 2024, the committee voted unanimously to advance this proposal to the City Council for your consideration today. The proposed action before you today includes sub-item A and sub-item B. Sub-item A is the introduction of an adoption of an ordinance submitting to the qualified voters of the City of San Diego at the municipal special election consolidated with the California State General Election to be held on November 5th, 2024. One measure amending the San Diego Municipal Code by adding Chapter 3, Article 2, Division 1, Sections 32.0101 through Section 320120 relating to the general transactions and use tax. Sub-item B is an adoption of a resolution directing the city attorney to prepare a ballot title and summary and an impartial analysis, directing the mayor, independent budget analyst, and city auditor to prepare a fiscal impact analysis and assigning ballot arguments, all regarding one measure amending the municipal code I've stated before. The City of San Diego's general fund is the primary source of funding for essential neighborhood services. The general fund is primarily supported by four major revenue sources that include property tax, sales tax, transient occupancy tax, and franchise fees. Together, these revenue streams contribute $1.5 billion or 72% of the budget that you just passed for the fiscal year 2025 budget. Sales tax represents the second largest revenue source for the general fund, comprising of approximately 19% of total revenue. Collected at the point of sale, these receipts are remitted to the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, which then allocates the revenue to the city on a monthly basis. According to the Bradley Burns Sales and Use Tax Law, the city currently only receives 1% of its total sales tax. So of the 7.75% that the City of San Diego charges per dollar, only 1% is currently coming back to the city. The proposed ballot measure will generate approximately $400 million per year for neighborhood infrastructure and essential city services by establishing a transaction and use tax at the rate of 1% of gross receipts. This proposal would set the city's sales tax at 8.75%. San Diego's current sales tax, 7.75%, which I mentioned, is significantly lower than other jurisdictions within the state and our own county. Among the 481 cities in California, San Diego's 7.75% sales tax rate is tied for fourth lowest. Within San Diego County, the city shares the lowest rate amongst the 18 other incorporated cities. However, we're not the only city that's considering a sales tax initiative, and we're not alone in our need for this revenue. The cities of San Marcos, Oceanside, Santee, Lemon Grove, El Cajon, Encinitas, and La Mesa are all considering raising their sales tax this November. It should also be noted that 6 of the 10 cities that directly border the city of San Diego, Chula Vista, National City, Imperial Beach, La Mesa, El Cajon, and Del Mar, all have a higher sales tax currently than the City of San Diego. As was mentioned previously, you can see on the chart, on the slide, the city currently only receives 1% of the 7.75 collected, with the majority going to the state. It is incredibly important to understand that the 1% that is under consideration today will not only double the city's sales tax, but that $400,000 that it'll generate, that entire $400 million will stay within the city of San Diego. Let me say that again. That $400 million will stay here locally in the city of San Diego. Now with that, I'll turn it over to Matt Gagagin for the remainder of the presentation.
Thank you, Michael. I will now discuss neighborhood infrastructure and city services. The city maintains a network of roads, parks, libraries, fire stations, and other facilities that provide essential services that are vital to our daily lives. The infrastructure is the backbone of our neighborhoods, ensuring we have safe roads to drive on, beautiful parks to enjoy, resource libraries to educate our children, and reliable emergency services to keep us safe. Our residents rely on their local government to invest resources in this infrastructure, and enhancing and modernizing it is not just about fixing what's broken, it's about improving the quality of life for all neighborhoods. When we invest in a neighborhood infrastructure, we create safer, more accessible, and more enjoyable environments. Upgraded roads mean fewer accidents and smoother commutes. Well-maintained parks and libraries provide spaces for recreation, learning, and community gatherings. Efficient fire stations and emergency services ensure that we are protected in times of crisis. The proposed 1 cent sales tax increase is a necessary step towards making these improvements a reality. However, the reality is that these critical infrastructures are in dire need of investment. The infrastructure we use daily was constructed with investments made by previous generations. These investments provided us with a solid foundation, but time has taken its toll. Due to decades of underinvestment and deferred maintenance, our infrastructure is now in dire need of repair or replacement. We all experience the frustration of driving over potholes, walking on cracked sidewalks, or navigating poorly lit streets. These are not just minor inconveniences. They are signs of deeper issues that must be addressed with more revenue. And we know just how much more. The latest five-year CIP outlook has identified that $9.25 billion is needed over the next 5 years to address our infrastructure backlog. This includes replacing aging assets and maintaining existing infrastructure, such as roads, sidewalks, streetlights, pipes, bridges, dams, parks, libraries, and other city facilities. The cost is significant, but the price of inaction is even higher. Failing to address these needs now will only lead to more expensive repairs in the future and continued depreciation of the infrastructure we all rely on. By generating approximately $400 million annually, this measure will provide the funds needed to tackle our infrastructure challenges head on. Additionally, the cost of doing business has significantly increased since 2019. The per mile cost of asphalt overlay has surged by 173%, and the cost of slurry seal has risen by 107%. The cost of police vehicles has increased by 58%, while the cost of fire engines has gone up by 57%. Even the cost of pipeline installation has increased by 50%. These rising costs mean that every delay in addressing our infrastructure needs makes future repairs that much more expensive. For every type of infrastructure, like trees and sidewalks, roads, the sales tax helps not only support the day-to-day maintenance and core services that residents expect, but it will help the city deliver on the foundational planning that we've built over the past several years together. It will help us make future gains on equity, on the climate action plan, on Vision Zero. This measure is an investment in future generations. Now, I'd like to talk about accountability and oversight. Ensuring that every dollar collected is spent wisely and transparently is a top priority for our city. And this measure is designed with safeguards to achieve that. Firstly, this ballot measure includes comprehensive provisions for accountability, transparency, and oversight to ensure that the funds raised are used effectively and to improve neighborhood infrastructure and city services. We understand that trust is crucial, and we are committed to maintaining the highest standards of financial responsibility. To begin with, the city will conduct oversight through its robust budget development process. This process includes multiple publicly noticed hearings where residents can voice their opinions and ask questions. These hearings are essential for maintaining transparency and ensuring that community members have a say in how funds are allocated towards the most critical needs in their neighborhoods. Additionally, the city will provide quarterly monitoring reports as part of its budget monitoring process. These reports will offer regular updates on the status of the proposed 1 cent sales tax increase. By making this information available on a quarterly basis, we ensure that there is continuous oversight and that ongoing transparency allows residents to track the progress of infrastructure projects and see exactly how their tax dollars are being spent. Moreover, the funds collected from this measure will undergo the same rigorous independent annual audit as other city revenues. These audits are conducted by an independent auditor who examines all city financial records to ensure accuracy and compliance. The results of these audits will be included in the city's annual financial statements, which are reviewed by the city's audit committee and the city council. This rigorous auditing process is a crucial element of our accountability framework, ensuring that all expenditures are thoroughly reviewed and verified. Furthermore, the results of these audits will be available for public review. This means that every resident will have access to detailed information about how the funds are being managed. Full transparency in our financial practices is not just a promise, it's a commitment. By making these audit reports publicly available, we are providing an open window into the city's financial stewardship. Public support. From May 1st to May 5th of this year, 400 likely San Diego voters were surveyed about the 1 cent sales tax measure. They were asked the following question. To repair neighborhood streets and sidewalks, update police, fire protection, paramedic, and 911 equipment and facilities, improve parks and libraries, provide enhanced citywide infrastructure, and deliver general city services, shall the measure enacting a 1 cent sales tax be adopted, generating approximately $400 million per year until ended by voters, requiring citizen oversight and independent audits, with all funds staying in the city of San Diego. 58% of respondents indicated that they would support such a measure. As Michael mentioned earlier in the presentation, the proposed actions for today's items listed on the screen as sub-items A and B. That concludes our presentation. Thank you, and we will take any questions.
Thank you. All right, let's proceed with public comment, please.
Thank you, Council President. There is a large amount of speakers on this item, so it will be 1 minute each. If you can please start coming up as I call your name to the reserved yellow seats at the front of the room, that would be appreciated. We're starting with Shane Harris. After that, we have Jeremy Huff, Rob Hustle, George Dorado, and Peter Kaminsky. Shane, you have time seated to you by Sabel Thompson. If you can please raise your hand. Thank you so much. You'll have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you, Council, and thank you, Madam Clerk. I am here as I was in March to cite my concerns regarding the city sales tax increase. While I understand, as the MEA explained to me when I was preparing to run for council and decided that I didn't really need that seat, that the challenges of vacancies that need to be filled and a number of other issues that are taking place within our government here, the lack of resources, therefore, is a reasoning for this in needed funding. While I understand the challenges that were explained to me by the Municipal Employees Association, I also understand the burden of taxpayers. And I also understand the burden of challenges that taxpayers face. The reality is that while it may not make much of a difference on a, per se, a bottle of milk, it will make a big difference on a car or on a refrigerator. I'm urging you today to reconsider the fact that you are looking at, in the middle of inflation, in the middle of cost of living challenges, in the middle of the fact that we have been rated San Diego the most expensive city in America, that recent polls show that the number one issue beside homelessness that people have in San Diego, recent polling shows that they are concerned about the cost of living here. So to add another percent, add another cent on top of what people are already paying is something that will affect taxpayers and residents across the city. This proposed ballot measure by Mayor Gloria is an attempt to blackmail taxpayers across the city of San Diego. The fact that we know historically that you have misused these funds over and over again, and then you ask for more money just to be more destructive with the money you get. Please turn this down and send this
back. Thank you for that concluding comment. Jeremy Huff? Individuals that are by the door to please clear the doorway. There are plenty of seats over here just for a fire and safety perspective. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. City Council President, City Council, my name is Jeremy Huff. I'm the Vice President of the San Diego Police Officers Association. I'm here today to express our full support the upcoming ballot measure that proposes a modestly a crucial one penny increase in the city's sales tax. This measure is not about numbers. It's about investing in the quality of life for every San Diegan. The revenue generated from this tax will be directed towards critical city services that we all rely on daily. As our city continues to grow, so does the need for enhanced public safety, efficient emergency response, and overall community well-being. Specifically, this funding will allow us to make significant improvements in our police department. With increased resources, we can address the persistent issue of police staffing, more officers meaning quick response times and emergencies, more effective community policing, and an overall safer San Diego. Think about what this means for you and your family. Faster emergency response times can be the difference.
Thank you for that concluding comment. Rob Hutzel? After that will be George DeVallo, Peter Kaminsky, Denise Vasquez Rose, Bob Lehman, and Becky Philpott. If you can please start coming up to the front. Please proceed.
Thank you, council members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I think many of you know that for more than two decades, I've dedicated my life to the parks and open spaces in San Diego. I know that you're underfunded. All I can say is give the voters of San Diego the opportunity to make this decision. If the quality of life issues that are so important to all of us can be addressed by this, then let the voters decide that. I think it's really important. And I know, because I work so closely with many city agencies, that they need additional resources to do their job. And so we're asking you to give the voters that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is George.
Good afternoon, Council President and members of the City Council. My name is George Gordo, President of San Diego City Firefighters Reform 45. Here on behalf of the men and women of the San Diego Fire Rescue Department. I'm here today to ask the City Council to place the sales tax measure on the November ballot. As I believe it has been well established, the City of San Diego faces critical budget challenges every year due to a lack of sufficient infrastructure. While the mayor and city council have done their very best to fund critical services and projects desired by the residents, more needs to be done. It is crucial that the voters in San Diego be given the opportunity to vote and raise sales tax by one penny. This additional penny for every dollar will go a long way to ensure the city remains the safest of big cities in this country. Once again, thank you.
Please. Thank you for that concluding remark. Peter Kaminsky.
Good afternoon, Council President Miguel Rivera and Council members. My name is Peter Kaminsky from the Balboa Park Cultural Partnership. The proposed sales tax measure is critically important for the city for so many reasons. Today I'll just focus on one. First, in addition to critically important infrastructure, programs and maintenance throughout our city, with a particular highlight on the devastating impact of our community stormwater that must be addressed. Other areas of deferred maintenance also need urgent attention. Specifically, while Parks and Rec do an excellent job with the very limited resources they have, deferred capital maintenance for historic structures in Balboa Park are now negatively impacting collections, operations, and the experience of our guests. This measure would be helpful to help within a meaningful way. The Cultural Partnership and Arts and Culture San Diego will be strong advocates for this ballot initiative. I ask you vote today in favor of moving this to the ballot. Thank you.
Next is Denise Vasquez. No, Denise. Next, Bob Lehman. After that, we'll have Becky Philpott, Kim Phillips P., Kara Camden, Cara Camden, and Imani Robinson, if you can start coming up to the front. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Council President Miguel Rivera and members of the City Council. I'm Bob Lehman, Executive Director of the San Diego Museum Council, representing more than 60 museums and cultural institutions with programs reaching into every council district. I'm here today in support of the proposed 1 cent sales tax increase. The arts community has always been an important part of the fabric of our city, and likewise, we have always supported sustained quality of life. In fact, the arts and culture community contributes $1.4 billion of annual economic activity to our city, making us one of the largest and most robust cultural regions in the nation. We recognize our city is structurally in need of sustainable funding to continue to meet the needs of our neighborhoods and the people who live there. As part of the community, we want to be part of the solution. Thank you for continued stewardship of our great city.
Thank you. Next, Becky.
Well, thank you, Council President Rivera and the rest of the council members. I'm so happy to see you again. I saw all of you this weekend, I believe, in our beautiful city of San Diego. I am a longtime resident of Council District 5 under our wonderful Council Member Marty Mavokert, and I have the honor and pleasure of serving on the Arts and Culture Commission as well as other youth and education organizations throughout the city of San Diego. First, I want to say that we appreciate you and all of you that you do and the decisions you make and your staff and the staff of the city as well. Placing a tax measure on the ballot is a very serious, very important item, and it's a difficult decision to make. And I am strongly in favor of putting this measure on the ballot, letting the voters decide, and I support the measure. The city needs the resources, and in this environment, this is the way to do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Kim Phillips. Kim? Kim? Okay. After that, Kara or Kara Kelvin. My apologies if I mispronounced your name.
Kara, thanks. Hi, my name is Kara Camden, and I'm working with Arts and Culture San Diego, and I live in D9, and I'm here to support the 1 cent sales tax increase. Sign me up for a fiscally healthy city of San Diego, and we know that it's good for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Imani Robinson. You go to the high left.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Council President Sean Oliveira and all the wonderful other council members. I am with the 1% tax increase. I am surrounded by other cities that have done that, and they are beautiful and they are thriving, and I want the same for our city. Back in the day when I was on the Tiger team for Title I funds, for the San Diego Unified School District, one thing we really believed in was T, transparency, effectiveness, efficiency, and accountability. And that's what we're asking for. It's our tax money, it's our city, and we want it to thrive. I'm born and raised here, and I know what we can do, what the city can look like. And we can also be competitive with the extra funds. We can go after bigger grants. So I'm excited.
Thank you for that concluding remark.
Want us to be accountable to one another.
Amira Temple. After Amira, we have Felicia Shaw, Alec Fire, Carmen Kasner, Joyce Pinata. If you can all please come forward to the front row. We'll get that right now. Amira, please come up to the microphone. Amira? No, Amira Temple? Felicia Shaw?
Good afternoon, Council President and members of the City Council. My name is Felicia Shaw, and I'm Executive Director of San Diego Art Matters, formerly the San Diego Regional Arts and Culture Coalition. And I'm also a resident of amazing Azalea Park in District 9. I'm here today to support the proposed 1 cent sales tax increase. San Diego Art Matters represents hundreds of artists, arts administrators, board members, and volunteers who are tax-paying citizens in our community. We care not only about the arts, but also about our city's fiscal health and well-being, and we're concerned that our city does not have the funding it needs to address many unmet infrastructure needs. We often come before you asking for support. Today, we're here offering our support because we want to be part of the solution. By supporting the 1 cent sales tax, we can ensure that San Diego remains a thriving community capable of serving us all. We stand ready to make this campaign to increase the 1 cent sales tax a success. Thank you.
Thank you. Alec Byer.
Council President El Rivera, council members, my name is Alec Byer. I'm a resident of District 2. I'm a second generation native San Diegan. I'm not a native. I'm a volunteer for the city, but I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm married to a native San Diegan. I have a 19-year-old daughter who's a native San Diegan. On behalf of my family and my neighbors, we are in support of this proposed tax. We ask that the council move this forward, take a proposed action to get this on the voter ballot, because we cannot go back to the deferred maintenance. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Carmen McCaslin.
Good afternoon, council members, council staff, members of the public. My name is Carmen Kasner. I'm the local chapter president for the American Public Works Association, APWA, and a resident of Mira Mesa District 6. APWA is the largest organization that's focused on public works in the United States with over 30,000 members. In San Diego, our membership is over 500 individuals and agencies. We plan, design, build, operate, and maintain all aspects of infrastructure, public works. We are supportive of this measure because we see this as a way to have more funds for both the necessary upfront construction and long-term maintenance of our city infrastructure. Other state and regional measures have a heavy focus on construction, but maintenance of our roadways and our facilities is often overlooked. We recognize that in order for this to be passed, the desire is for it to be as non-specific as possible, but we are concerned that if the appropriate constraints are not in place, that infrastructure spend will not remain as a primary focus of the funds for the long term. Please help make sure that that is its long-term maintenance.
Thank you for that concluding remark. Next is Joyce Anata, my apologies. And if I can have Andres Alba Cardenas, Jim Douglas, Vic Vianes, Catherine Rose, and Michael Duquette, please come up to the front row. Please proceed.
Thank you, City Clerk Fuentes, Joyce Anata, District 3. Thank you, Mayor Gloria, Councilman Campillo, City Attorney, City Clerk, and all others. I, too, am very optimistic. A little caution flag, though. Please be clear about public expectation for use of these funds. Regarding transparency and oversight, great statement was just made. Not a promise, a commitment. I really, really like that. It's very strong. So we are one people. We are one San Diego. We are one dream. This is a dream that can be realized. Please vote yes now and on the ballot this November. Love to all.
Thank you. Andres? Hello, Carlos. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, council members. Andres Salvatarles, Police Representative, Aspen Local 127, speaking in support of the proposed ballot issue to increase the sales tax by 1%. First, thank you to the Office of Mayor Gloria and the Office of Councilmember Castillo for spearheading this ballot initiative. Aspen Local 127 represents the members working departments that currently pull from the general fund. These departments include Environmental Services, Parks and Rec, Transportation, and Stormwater, among other things. These departments provide quality essential services to each of your respective districts, maintaining parks to the satisfaction of patrons, paving streets to the tune of 250 miles last year, and clearing drains to prevent flooding. But for all the work these departments do, we all know they can do much more. Specifically, this 1% sales tax increase would enable these departments to get it done in your respective districts and for your respective constituents. We thank you in advance for your support.
Thank you. Next is Jim Douglas.
Good afternoon, Council. Jim Douglas, elected leader of ASME Local 127. For you folks who don't know, Local 127 provides skilled labor to the citizens of San Diego. Local 127 is very much in support of this. We want to continue to provide the skilled essential services to the citizens of San Diego. We look forward to this moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, apologies for the name. Vic, the honest?
Good morning, City Council. My name is Vic Bianis. I am a member of the American Public Works who represents the men and women who maintain the infrastructure throughout the nation. I serve on the American Public Works National Board and I'm their incoming president-elect for our national organization. I also sit on the South County Economic Development Council as well. I'm speaking today on behalf of public works professionals with approximately 40 years of experience. I speak on behalf of the staff that operate and maintain your infrastructure. They are challenged each day to prioritize what little funds they have to meet the many needs of the city. As we know, there is not enough funds to do what is needed to be done. I've driven over the crumbling roads in Mira Mesa, seen sidewalks that need a repair, see the potholes in bike lanes, and have seen the many old city buildings that need our care. If infrastructure is not maintained, it will cost the city 3 to 4 times more money to replace the damage than to take no action. Unfortunately, I've also seen litigation when people fall down and trip over sidewalks and have bike accidents over potholes, resulting in thousands of dollars of litigation.
Thank you for that concluding comment. Next is Catherine Rose. After that is Michael Zuquette. Then if I can ask the following individuals to please come forward: Nate Watkins, Byron Ware, Fred Seiko, Dr. Terry Hoskins, and Philip Masagas. If you can please come forward to the front row. Catherine Rose, please proceed.
Lovely. And so what I want you guys to do is, you know, put it on the ballot and let people decide for themselves. But what you're giving us, what you refuse to do, is analyze if you should just update language to confirm equal treatment of traditional and online bookings to reclassify online travel agencies as hotel operators, and amend its ordinance, the municipal code, by changing the definition for operator to include online travel agency as third-party agents. That's $100 million free cash right now that you're giving over to out-of-town online travel agents. This is not a tax increase, it's a tax shift. And Raul Compitio, I talked to you for years about this. You haven't ever followed through. Ever. And all you have to do is talk to the, this is free money. This is free cash that you're throwing away, you're gifting away to other people, and you're not doing your job as it relates to that. It's such easy money. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Lazar.
Good afternoon, Michael Zuquette, representing the San Diego Municipal Employees Association. We wanted to thank and appreciate Mayor Todd Gloria, Councilmember Campillo, for their support for this measure from the very beginning. We appreciate the chair and the members of the City Council's Rules Committee, who has heard this on 2 occasions and unanimously supported it to the full City Council. We appreciate all the staff involved, from the mayor's office, the council office, the office of the independent budget analyst, and the city attorney, who have produced this work product that is before you today. And we strongly support you forwarding that work product on to the voters for them to decide. And we strongly believe that they will decide and they will choose for more emphasis and more funds for critical infrastructure, central city services, to every neighborhood in the city of San Diego. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Nate Watkins.
Good afternoon, Council President and City Council members. My name is Nate Watkins. I'm a native San Diegan and resident of District 1, and I love my city. I'm here to express my support for the joint proposal to invest in critical neighborhood infrastructure improvements and essential services. The proposed sales tax increase will add an estimated $400 million in annual revenue, which would significantly help fund infrastructure projects such as road repairs, streetlights, parks, libraries, and piers. These additional funds are crucial to our public health and safety, as they can also be used to update police, fire, paramedic, and 911 response where every second matters. I can absolutely get behind these additional resources, and I ask the City Council to advance this proposal to the November ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Byron Ware.
Good afternoon, members of the council and council president. Byron Ware, former council member from District 2, 60-year resident of Multnomah Mission Beach. You all know about my council career, but some of you may have forgotten I used to be a lifeguard down at Ocean Beach and throughout our system as a lieutenant. Public safety is a top priority, one of your biggest and most important things, making sure we can get to people that need housing. I was really proud that we got the helicopter in the air 15 years ago and got that going. We've been relying on all kinds of crazy ways to balance our budget, redevelopment, and we got that taken away. We have a lot of challenges, and it's really tough to do this, but public safety is the first priority. And secondly, infrastructure, obviously, our parks, our regional parks, which generate revenue, by the way, back to the general fund. All these things need to be taken care of. And I applaud you for putting this forward. Let the voters decide, and let's make our case. Thank you.
Fred Tico.
Good afternoon, Council President, members of the Council. My name is Fred Tico. I'm the Executive Director of the San Diego County Lodging Association.
Let me just go ahead and first start my comments with the obvious, in that it's very an unusual situation when a business association supports a sales tax increase. So let me go ahead and start by with that. But we are in an unusual situation in that we are competing with other cities for business travelers, for leisure travelers, for their business. So I think it's important for the city to be able to have the resources to be able to continue to make San Diego as attractive and inviting as it needs to be. So as part of the association, we look forward to working with you and wholeheartedly support the sales tax increase. Thank you very much for your time.
Dr. Terry Hudson.
Good afternoon, I'm Dr. Terry Hoskins, a resident and candidate for City Council District 9. I strongly oppose any new taxes while certain elected officials remain in office. The issue with this tax ballot measure states a general tax may be used for neighborhood upgrades. May, doesn't mean it will. In the last 3+ years, funds generated by taxes have been used to benefit elected officials' ideologies and not the public. 101 Ash Street. This administration has lost the faith and trust of the people. I question whether or not these funds would even go to first responders. I encourage you and everyone else to vote no on additional taxes. Thank you.
Philip?
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Philip Macedas. I'm the executive director of San Diego Coast Keeper. And we are a regional clean water advocacy organization whose mission is to protect and restore our coastal and inland waters and protect the communities that depend on them. And so we support this measure very strongly. We know that the city's stormwater department is in desperate need of funding. Our stormwater infrastructure is in bad shape. And if we invest in it properly, we can transform the city in a way that will benefit all San Diegans. So we support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Connor Duncan. Next speakers are Connor Duncan, Lori Saldana, Carlos Cristiani, and Tammy Restlittle. If you can all please come forward to the front row. Connor, you can come forward to the high lectern and proceed with your comments.
Thank you. The sales tax is widely regarded as a regressive tax, disproportionately impacting low and middle income families. The effects are particularly pronounced for minority communities. To quote the California Budget and Policy Center, regressive taxes like sales and excise taxes exacerbate racial inequity. The council is correct that we're facing a revenue shortfall, but it is not correct that this policy setting is the only option in addressing it. When a major goal of these new funds is to help underprivileged communities rebuild and maintain their infrastructure, it seems wrong to fund those improvements with the option that places the greatest burden on them, even if it's only a modest 1 cent on the dollar increase. That said, given the events outside of the council's control that led to the removal of the stormwater initiative from the ballot, the sales tax increase may well be the best option we have to at least get started in addressing some of these critical issues. For that reason, I think it's right for the council to at least put the question to the voters, and we will see the outcome in a few months' time.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori Saldana.
As others have mentioned, it would be easier to support this if we saw the money currently in your coffers being allocated for things that actually benefit people. And instead, when we see 101 Ash Street, when we see other money go to programs and that are not benefiting people, as something else on the agenda coming up we'll discuss, we are very leery of giving you more money, and it is regressive. We have more money to spend and more money to invest in the city if we didn't pay the highest utility rates in the nation, something that this council gave to us. If we didn't have short-term vacation rentals taking full-time housing away, and we have thousands of people who are homeless requiring emergency medical services, we would be so much more ahead if you would use the money you have to protect the people who are full-time residents. And instead, you are giving money to corporations that are fueling climate change, and that is what destroyed the houses of thousands of residents in the January storms. So use the money you have better, and we will be more likely to have money to spend and increase the money that goes into the city without more sales tax increases.
Folks, we
and not get through this meeting. After each speaker, we're going to have that sort of transition time. So I'm going to ask just to So I'm going to ask that you respect the next speaker and their ability to speak, and all public speakers have shown up here, by not interrupting their ability to be heard and called up, not interrupting their ability to be heard during their comments. There are other ways to demonstrate your support for the comments that are being made, and I encourage you to use those methods. Thank you.
Hello, members of City Council. My name is Carlos Cristiani. I am here in strong support for the sales tax increase initiative to go to the ballot in November. I am a resident of District 6, and since I moved to Mexico City, I've been a resident of District 7, District 3, and being fully employed by the Fleet Science Center in Balboa Park, I have a great opportunity to go to work, you know, a wonderful resource, regional resource that is Balboa Park. I've seen opportunities all around me. We're all here because we care about our city. We know that we're trusted partners, and we know that every year we get more and more creative. What we know is that there's not enough money. We have an opportunity to bring certainty to our city, and we're here to support you.
Thank you. Thank you, and our last speaker here in Council Chambers is Tammy.
Thank you, City Council members. I have a small business in San Diego, and I believe that retail shops would greatly be affected by this tax. I do agree with everybody who spoke today in favor of all of the infrastructure that's needed, without a doubt, because we've agreed on that for years. But I don't think we need to make San Diego more desirable by taxing a marginal amount of number of people in San Diego, and I believe that we are desirable enough as we are, and we should have the money in the coffers already to be paying for these and these infrastructure upgrades. And travel and tourism is another area where we still have some room, I think, for increases. And everything else that Lori Saldana said. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment here in Council Chambers. There is no other speakers have submitted a slip. We'll go to those participating remotely, starting with John Stump. I've started the 5-minute timer. If you can please unmute. You are unmuted, but we do not hear you here in Council Chambers. I'm not sure if the device that you're speaking into may be muted. We do not hear you here in Council Chambers. We'll move on to the next speaker. Phone number ending in 1672, if you can please unmute. 1672, if you can please unmute.
Okay, Post Polo here. Can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, great, thank you. So it's a no, no, and no. How many times are we going to allow this? Taxes continue going up while the people continue to struggle. Do you hear me? Struggle. Everyone who is for this new tax can be the one taxed to the solution. We cannot continue to reward and give these wasteful, spoiled, reckless, and corrupt local politicians what they want at the time they want it. The money will not go to where they are promising. It never does. We learn from history that we have not learned from history. This local government continues to squeeze out from its citizens the majority, what the majority do not have. It's disgusting. It's reckless. How dare they even ask this of an already suffering community? Our county is suffering, and it's so sad that people.
Your time has concluded. Our next speaker is ending in 1415. If you can please unmute. 1415, if you can please unmute. There you go.
Although I have optimism that you will not impose the sales tax to pay for the city maintenance you didn't do, this will not only affect residents, of anyone who visits or wants to buy stuff in New York City. Kind of anti-people and anti-business. Now, I only heard of this after the storm, so, you know, probably mentioned. I agree with Lori Polvania. Maiden, the street, storm covers, infrastructure, distributor responsibility, so with safety. But the way you waste money on beautification projects or unnecessary projects, when I want to ask your new city council building, no wonder you want to have more money.
Your time has concluded. Our next speaker is Blair Beekman. If you could please unmute.
Hi, Blair Beekman. Good luck on this item and how we have to be considering as a community. To me, there's three tax increase projects to be considering: the sales tax project, the environmental health project for, you know, the Tijuana River Valley area, for, you know, East San Diego, or for, you know, okay, Mesa area, San Diego, and the stormwater issue and property tax issues. I mean, the stormwater issue will be affecting National City, Chula Vista, and Imperial Beach, all those cities too. You have to decide what is the timing and how you're going to do that. So good luck how to balance the three. You have to do them all by, I think, about 2026 or so. That's my hope. Good luck in the choices how to do that. Currently, you have $400,000 for this sort of project. Can we wait, if we do $100,000 with the sales tax from the county this year, can we wait to 2026 to vote for this measure in 2026?
Your time has concluded. Next is Catherine Douglas in the virtual queue. But before I proceed with the virtual queue, a speaker slip got turned in with another item. So we will be going back to that. Rob Brown, if you can please come forward. It got submitted with other items. You'll have 1 minute. Please proceed.
Thank you very much for your time. Good afternoon, Council President and members of the City Council. My name is Rob Brown. I'm here representing the San Diego Lifeguards Team 34 from my home. I come here in support of the folks I represent to give our support for placing the sales tax measure on the November ballot. As lifeguards, we provide a core service preserving life and protecting the environment, our beaches and waterways. We provide outreach, education, emergency rescue and response, and provide medical care to prevent drownings for the citizens and visitors to our beautiful beaches. We appreciate the resources provided to us by this group and recognize that if we do our best to do our best for the public, it requires resources. It is important that our elected officials have the revenue they need to provide the services the community wants, needs, and deserves. Whether it's repairing roads or buying rescue equipment, the public should have the opportunity to vote the council the resources they need to get this out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. There were 3 minutes left on the 5 minute timer. I've started that timer again. And we're going to Catherine Douglas, if you can please unmute.
I'm not going to take a stand on this at this moment. I think I'm probably in favor of it. But I would like for everybody on the council, I think we all go to the grocery store and buy eggs. And if you look at the price of eggs at the grocery store, they're ones for a lot less and they're ones for a lot more, and they all taste the same. I think the city needs to do a better job in finding vendors that can slurry seal for less, that can complete other projects for less. It's that you can get the same product with far less money being spent, and that would help our budget and our tax dollars. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Andrew Hollingworth. If you can please unmute.
Thank you, council members. You know, San Diego is one of the most expensive cities to live in. High utility costs, high cost of living, high taxes, and people are leaving this city. Your population is declining, and businesses are leaving this city. And also, because you have high expenses because you've done unsustainable COLAs for the public employee unions. You've done 101 Ash Street. You're going to do another one today on Kettner and Vine. So I think before you oppose another sales tax increase on the public, you should increase the efficiency of how the city does business and to not succumb to the public employee unions. All the people who are talking pro here benefit from the public trough, and that shouldn't be the case. So I urge your opposition to this sales tax increase. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Kathleen Leppert, if you can please unmute. Kathleen.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Lippitt. Residents already, as previously stated, pay the highest gas, electricity, property, food, housing, etc. And the past expenditures of the city, along with the loophole of the term may, that is a really critical term to put in there because it doesn't give confidence to residents that the money will be spent for the priorities that are identified that the city knows are important to community residents. It's rather reminiscent of PBS when they want to raise money for they only glamorize the community-friendly, family-friendly programs that they have. But we have seen the city lower marijuana taxes. We've seen them, that really affects public safety. We've seen them not spend money on the infrastructure.
Time has concluded, and that also is the five-minute timer concluded here at Council Chambers. There are two additional speakers, and no speakers will be taken after that. Judy Stray, if you can please unmute.
Good afternoon, San Diego City Council. I very much want to support your movement to increase our sales tax if it does accomplish what you want it to. And I think that some of us sort of have a crisis of faith that it will happen because we haven't seen our neighborhoods and who can't really speak to themselves or communities are concerned how their needs served well in the past. So we wonder if this tax increase will serve them best going forward. And we look at the priority of the businesses that the city council enables. And we don't think that we are well served when we increase alcohol, tobacco, marijuana use in our city. We feel that it affects the quality of those neighborhoods. So we question whether another step sales tax will really help us. We want to support you.
Thank you. Your time has concluded. John Stump, if you can please unmute. We cannot unmute for you. Moving on, our last speaker is 8813, if you can please unmute. Yes, please proceed.
So 1% sales tax is just a total scam on the public. If people look at something called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, there's a video on YouTube about it by Clem Richardson. The real title is longer, but you can look up Corporation Nation, Clint Richardson, on YouTube. And that'll bring up a very long video. But the basic idea is they've got 10 to 40 times as much money as the entire budget, and they're not using it for the budget or for us at all. They intend to keep it from the government. It's going to keep it from themselves. And you can see proof of this on the .gov website. He shows you. You can literally Google the name Comprehensive Annual Financial Report and any city or state saying that would show you the report on the .gov website. So it's a total scam. The usual thing, raising prices, raising tax so that we pay for people's salaries and don't get much money
at all.
Thank
you. Your time has concluded. For the record, Teresa Wolf and Jillian Kodama submitted speaker slips in favor but did not wish to speak. And that concludes public comment on this item.
All right. Thank you, clerk. We'll begin council discussion of this item with Councilmember Capillo.
Thank you very much, Council President. Thank you, the members of the public, for calling in and expressing your views on this issue. I want to thank Mr. Yagyak and Mr. Simonson for your presentation. Truly a team effort with all of Mayor Gloria's staff in mind. As we heard today from the mayor and the presentation, the city's in dire need of additional revenue to start to tackle the enormous backlog of deferred maintenance. In fact, the maintenance is so deferred that it's not even maintenance most of the time. It's rehabilitation. It's replacement of long-needed neighborhood infrastructure. For decades, San Diego's leaders neglected that neighborhood infrastructure, including our roads and streetlights and sidewalks, stormwater systems, parks and libraries, and more. But over the past 4 years, this mayor and council have doubled down on roads, getting to the bottom of the true cost of fixing infrastructure and preserving key city services like public safety. And if you're wondering just how much more we focused on roads, we spent an average of $34 million on road maintenance per year in the past three fiscal years. That's more than double the $15.8 million per year spent in the prior 8 years. On road rehab, we spent an average of $60 million a year the last 3 years, compared to $24.7 million per year on average from the prior 8 years. So that's 116% more on maintenance, and that's 143% more on rehabilitation. When you elected this council and mayor, we said we'd fix the roads, and we're spending 116% more on maintenance and 143% more on rehabilitation. So I think we fulfilled that promise, and we intend to do even more. Where previous city leaders weren't transparent with the public about the investments that are needed to maintain the infrastructure, we now have multiple reports and plans to fix the problems. And instead of opting for accounting gimmicks and deferring and delaying unnecessary investments, we intend to not let history repeat itself. We intend to fix the problem, not paper over it. And to do that, we must generate additional revenue to fix the structural budget deficit that has led us to the position we are in now that's been around for several decades, and we can fix that. So let's be very clear. If you're a San Diego resident and you shop or eat or pay for things in eight of our neighboring cities, you already pay a higher sales tax when you visit those businesses. If you live in my district in San Carlos and you drive to the Costco on Fletcher Parkway, you pay a higher sales tax because you're buying things in La Mesa. If you live in La Jolla and you drive to Del Mar for lunch at Borden Brew, you're paying for a higher sales tax by eating there. If you live in Barrio Logan, you go to buy a car at National City Mile of Cars, you're paying a higher sales tax. And multiple cities are facing the same issues we do right now. That's why four or five other cities are asking their voters to pass a revenue measure as well. We're not alone in seeing that the solution to the neighborhood infrastructure that is decaying across the county can be solved with a measure like this. I understand people saying we pay a lot in taxes, because we absolutely do. The vast majority of your tax dollars do not come to the city budget to fix things that you interact with and live with every single day. Your sidewalk, your road, your streetlight, your park, your library, your police division and firehouse, your storm drain. Only 1 out of 7.75 cents of that sales tax, and only 12.9 cents of every property tax dollar you pay, comes to the city for your daily life. The state and county get the vast chunk of your tax dollars, but your mayor and your city council members who live and breathe in your neighborhood every single day get the smallest chunk. So this year, we move this item forward today, voters in the city of San Diego will be presented with that solution of what must be spent in the city of San Diego, in our city, no other city. And most importantly, the detailed plans to execute on those investments, because we're ready to do that. Just Google San Diego Pavement Management Plan and see all 127 pages on how the roads can be fixed. And I don't think we all know that the cost to our tires, and the slower traffic, and the reduced gas mileage we all suffer from, that is a cost we pay already. But an investment like this can reduce overall costs. So as a city, we could continue to drive on bumpy, cracked roads, subject our children to outdated libraries and parks, and never fully get to the root of our neighborhood infrastructure issues, or we could invest now in building, literally building, the San Diego we all want and deserve. And I choose the latter, and I know my constituents do too. So with that, Council President, I'll move staff's recommendation to approve sub-items A and B. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Campillo. We have a motion on the floor. We will now go to Councilmember Lee.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you, Mayor Gloria, and Councilmember Campillo for your leadership in bringing this item forward. Just a little over a month ago, this council, working with this mayor, passed our fiscal year 2025 budget. One that, despite the significant fiscal challenges we have faced, was a balanced budget. In fact, our final unanimous action presented a balanced budget that not only ensured the continuity of critical city services, but also the protection of numerous community programs that have been proven to work that have been asked for by our residents. Now, even as this city has delivered a balanced budget year after year, including record funding this year for street repairs, stormwater improvements, and many other much-needed infrastructure investments, the reality is that we all share in the same frustrations regarding the lack of progress when it comes to basic needs across our city. That includes repairing our roads, streetlights, and sidewalks, includes nearly 200 unfunded projects identified throughout Parks and Rec, including libraries and rec centers that need more than just a coat of paint, but actual expansions and improvements to serve our growing populations, as well as public safety services and facilities for police, fire, and our lifeguards. Now, some have suggested that the city should be able to find other trade-offs to meet these needs. And I would simply ask you, where would residents like to see those decreases? In which communities? In which facilities? In which services? When we look at roads across the city alone, last year we celebrated tens of thousands of potholes that we had repaired. But I know that our residents are tired of potholes just being filled as band-aids. And what they really desire is the long-term answer to actually fix those roads. When we fail for generations to invest in our infrastructure and then to invest in the very people who deliver the services that our residents demand, we are literally burdening our children and our grandchildren to solve our problems. So I strongly support putting this measure on the ballot and to offer the choice of our city's future and for our residents to decide that future this November. If passed, it is our job in representing you to ensure that we not only deliver results in our time here, but to ensure that we put together the structure that allows the next generation of San Diego's leaders to utilize these resources to do so as well. Let's do that with transparency and accountability, and by continuing to prove to voters that we can and that we will fiercely protect their taxpayer dollars and ensure that those dollars are delivered to finally address the very needs that will serve not just the residents of today, but San Diego's generations to come. With that, I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councilmember Lee. All right, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you to everyone who spoke on this issue. And thank you for the presentation. By law, we must balance our budget every single year. And this year, it was projected that we would have a bit of a deficit, maybe $127 million or so. Luckily, by the time we finish the budget, we have found enough to take care of our needs. However, it is projected within the next few years, we will also have deficits when we go to finish our budget. So I don't want to give you the false impression that the $400 million from this tax increase is going to fix $9 billion of infrastructure that has been let go for 100 years. I don't want you to think that, but I do want you to know that again next year, we will face big budget problems if we don't pass this tax measure. This will give us $400 million. It will help us to balance our budget next year and in the coming few years. We need to figure out what to do about this problem because this city needs money. I know you think that we should just have it, but we don't just have it. We have to raise it. We have to have revenue income. So I urge everyone to support this measure and think about other ways that our city can raise revenue because we need it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilor Campbell. Council President Pro Tem Lozada.
Thank you, Council President. I too want to thank Councilmember Campillo and Mayor Gloria for your leadership in advancing this critical proposal and ballot measure. And thank you to everyone that worked to bring this measure forward. When we heard this item at Rules Committee in March, I spoke about the resources the city needs to provide the services our residents and businesses expect of us. The following month, the mayor released a proposed FY 2025 budget that put into stark and frankly uncomfortable context the limited resources the city has available for all of our shared priorities and critical services. Since then, we had weeks of budget review and revisions led by Councilmember Lee, Chair of the Budget Committee, all of which further underscored the difficulty the city faces to pave roads, maintain parks, and address the needs of the most vulnerable San Diegans, while ensuring our police, fire, and lifeguards are keeping the public safe. As painful as it was for the FY 25 budget, we are facing the reality of deep department and programmatic cuts in FY 26. To be clear, the safety valves we use to balance the FY 25 budget will not be available to us in FY 26. For far too long, committee council members and mayors have disruptive agents with their own agendas that prevented putting this question before the voters. Instead, they conspired to underfund infrastructure and city services. And as everyone knows, we continue to try to dig out of that very, very deep hole. Thank you, Mayor and Councilmember Campillo, for demonstrating the leadership that has been sorely missing in the past. And I wanted to add a note that Councilmember Campillo touched on, and that is the property tax component. If you own a piece of property, you pay property tax. And I often get that criticism. I pay property tax, why isn't that enough? Now, as Councilmember Campillo highlighted, the city of San Diego only gets 17 cents out of every property tax dollar. And when you translate that into real dollars, the property tax this city collects is not enough to cover the cost of public safety, police, fire, and lifeguards. That's a real revenue shortfall. And that's why this measure is an honest assessment of our fiscal landscape and a direct path towards delivering and expanding the services and infrastructure that San Diego residents and businesses want and need. Thank you again, Mayor Gloria and Councilmember Campillo. I will be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Council President Pro Tem. Councilmember Van Wolper.
Thank you to Mayor and your team, Mr. Yagan, as well as Councilmember Campillo and your team, Mr. Simonson, for your excellent presentation today and all the work you've been doing to bring this item forward. You have put a lot of thought into this. The cost of living in San Diego is incredibly high, and so this proposal is not one that I take lightly at all. But I do recognize that many challenges our city faces as we grapple with the crushing demand of deferred maintenance. The longer we wait to fix the building blocks of our government, our roads, our sidewalks, the libraries that need a new roof, the pools that need to be resurfaced, the longer we wait, the more expensive these repairs become. Slurry sealing a road is the equivalent of an oil change in a car. If you don't do oil changes, eventually you're going to need a new engine block, which is what results when we let our roads crumble so badly that they have to have AC overlay. It gets worse from there. If we have to have a full reconstruction of a road because it has been under deferred maintenance for so long, that is over $1 million a mile to fix that road. If we don't adequately fund this city's infrastructure, we will be passing on to the next generation a deeper and deeper pot of a backlog that will be unfathomable for them to get out of. At the same time, I would not be supporting this measure if I didn't think we had put in place, this council and this mayor had put in place systems to protect the fiscal responsibility of the infrastructure dollars in this city. When I first joined the city council in 2020, I was shocked to learn the city did not have current accurate data on the state of our crumbling roads. We hadn't done an overall pavement condition assessment, which other cities do every year, to find out which are the worst roads, which roads can be saved with slurry seal, how do we effectively use our money. So I fought very hard to pull funding down from our RMRA program to make sure we do have an overall assessment, and now we do. Every single road, we know exactly where it is and what intervention needs to be done to save that road. Councilor LaCavette and I also realized this city did not have a written plan for road repair. We just waited for every new mayor to come in, every new city council member to come in, and so we fought hard to have the city's very first pavement management plan that will be updated on a yearly basis so we know we can track the data. Where is the money going to fix the roads? How have we actually increased our overall condition index? And that pavement management plan is the guide we are going to use to spend this money the right way. We're also working on containing costs. I'd like to thank our city engineer, Rania Amen, for your efforts to reduce the cost of material purchasing. Every city around here needs to buy gravel, asphalt, cement, and we should be looking into bulk purchasing so we can reduce the cost of these materials. These are the things that this council is doing and this mayor is doing to really rein in the cost of our infrastructure and make sure that we use every penny the right way. And as the chair of our Public Safety Committee, it is essential that we stand with our police officers and our firefighters and our lifeguards. They go into the line of duty every day and they put their bodies on the line for us. Do you know our lifeguards have to do nighttime rescues? They have to plunge into midnight black water, not knowing who's drowning, who is not, and they don't even have enough support staff to make sure that there's someone on the beach to explain when the other first responders come where our lifeguards are in the dark water. Our first responders answer 911 calls in the middle of the night all the time, hundreds of thousands of 911 calls.
I want to make sure that the police response times are reduced to non-emergencies. I want to make sure our firefighters have the equipment they need to protect their own bodies from cancer. When they're going into our car accidents and our burning electric vehicle fires and our burning homes. These are the basic things that these folks are asking for. And I also want to thank our new police chief and our new fire chief, whom we are just hiring, for their renewed commitment to fiscal responsibility and looking at overtime costs and wondering why so many officers have to work overtime because we don't have enough to fill the shifts. So I just want to say thank you to all of our hard workers here. Thank you to AFSCME and MEA, because believe me, getting that fire truck out the door requires much more than just a firefighter. It requires a mechanic. It requires the folks to make sure that there's gasoline in that truck. It requires the folks to make sure that when a 911 call comes in, that dispatcher answers it and dispatches it correctly. There are hundreds of people who work on public safety in the city who don't go noticed, and I want to thank you for your work as well. So I believe for these reasons, for public safety and for infrastructure, it is incredibly important to move this proposal forward so the voters can decide, and I will support today's action on the November ballot. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Bob Wolpert. Councilmember Foster.
Yes, Council President, thank you, and thank you to staff for the presentation. I thought long and hard about this ballot measure discussion, and it came up immediately as I was campaigning for his seat. And I took the position then, and I take the position now, that this is a very simple decision. And this is about core services and what the city is obligated to provide. And in order for the city to meet those obligations and to meet delivery of our core services, we need to support this ballot measure. I've had the pleasure of serving the city of San Diego for over a decade. I've had the pleasure to serve on the operations side of the house. I've had the pleasure to serve on the council side of the house. And one thing that is glaring is that we need to address our budget deficit. This is not a new conversation. I was here when there were hiring freezes. I was here when folks did not even raise for 3 years. How is one expected to take care of their family? How is one expected to come to work every day and to deliver the services on behalf of the city of San Diego? I agree with a lot of the sentiments of the callers that have called in. I agree we should find better contractors that can provide more competitive pricing. But why can't we invest in our most valuable asset, our employees? Instead of adding 1 million to 18, why can't we add 3? Why can't we not self-perform our own services? Our quickest way to find the best cost, the best price, is to look at what we can do and maximize the services that we provide in-house. That's how we provide better services, better quality, and meet the expectations of the public. And so with that, Council President, as I indicated, I will be supporting this ballot measure today. And I really just want to end with this. When we talk about the issues at the city, I'll be the first one to tell you that we can improve. Not only can we improve on the operations side, but we can also improve on the legislative side of the house. And one thing that we must do at the city of San Diego, we must be in a position to provide our core services. And so I'll leave that there, and thank you for this item.
Thank you, Councilmember Foster. All right, Councilmember Campillo made a motion, was seconded by Councilmember Lee. I don't see any additional requests to speak to this item. I will express my appreciation to Councilmember Campillo and Mayor Gloria for bringing this item forward. The conversations we had at Rules Committee were rich, and I think, to your point, Councilmember Foster, the decision's pretty simple in my eyes as well. It doesn't mean that it's not impactful. the cost of living issues that we heard from the public and our colleagues today are real, and they have a huge, huge impact on folks' lives. The city needs to be properly funded, and without the city being properly funded, the city cannot provide the services that folks need and deserve. Sometimes members of the public say it with the 1 minute time guidelines that they have, say it more concisely and even more effectively than we can. Cara, the District 9 resident, said it perfectly. Sign me up for a fiscally healthy city of San Diego. That's it. Sign me up for that as well. This is how we get there. I appreciate the leadership in bringing this forward. I look forward to us being able to have the fiscally healthy city of San Diego that our residents deserve. First, please call the roll.
I'm sorry, the voter is somebody's cast your vote. That does pass unanimously, 9-0.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Item 201, consideration of a ballot measure proposed by the San Diego Unified School District for the November 2024 election to amend the city charter regarding the election of councilors and members of the board of education. This item is not subject to the mayor's veto. If you'd like to speak to this item, please invite your speaker, so it's a high lectern. And if you would like to participate remotely, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing star 9 or to raise your hand.
All right. For this item, there will actually be no PowerPoint presentation for this item. Enrique Ruacho, the chief of staff at the San Diego Unified School District Board, is in attendance representing the school district. The school district, should the council have any questions regarding the measure, if you would please proceed with public comment on the item.
Thank you, Council President. We have some speakers here in council chambers. If you can please come up to the yellow reserve seats at the front row. Kyle Weinberg, Wenzel, and Mark. Kyle, we'll start with you. Please come up to the high lectern. You will have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
Esteemed council members, thank you for your consideration in placing this needed reform on the ballot. My name is Kyle Weinberg. I'm the president of San Diego Education Association. We're the union representing over 7,000 educators in San Diego Unified School District. This is very important to us because this is a potential cost savings of hundreds of thousands of dollars for the district to be able to move elections to the general election when there's two or fewer candidates for that seat for school board. In November, we are going to be repeating the same election that we just did in the primaries for all of the San Diego Unified School Board seats. It's wasteful, it creates voter burnout doing the same election twice, and the county has already made these moves to do election reform, and this will align with these moves to have a more diverse electorate in November and more voters participating. We have supported this as SDA unanimously with our leaders who voted to bring this to you all. And the Rules Committee and our San Diego Unified School Board have also endorsed this, asking you to support this and save taxpayer money, save voter time, and bring democratic reforms to our school district elections. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Consuelo. You're gonna I just had Consuelo before Mark. But however you'd like to come.
This one. Can I go ahead and cede my time to him?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
So you'll have 4 minutes, Mark.
So, Mark, I don't see this as doing any good. For one thing, I'm certain that there won't be anyone nominated that for anyone to vote on or select that will do anything the people want. The Board of Education is basically an indoctrination system. I'm not saying that's all it is. Of course, they do educate children. People need to see the Rosa Corey video on YouTube. She specifically mentions the education system. Rosa Corey Part 1 is the title on YouTube. Corey is K-O-I-R-E. There's Part 1, 2, and 3. And she discusses how Agenda 21, as a fact, is being done in our government. including education K-12 and college, changing our land use documents, training our engineers and architects to change our land use documents, and it, not in a good way at all. Now, why should you listen to Rosa Corey? She was a district branch chief for the Department of Transportation. Her specialty, she was an accepted witness in court as an expert court witness in eminent domain valuation, land use, and property valuation, an absolute expert. She noticed this happening in the Department of Transportation. She's the highest authority on this, and she has a website. She'll mention that when you see the video on YouTube. Again, Rosa Corey, R-O-A-S-K-O-I-R-E, part one. The real title is, says something behind the green mask. It's longer, but that will take you right to it. So anyway, I don't see any possibility that you're going to select anyone who would do anything that the parents want. In fact, we're not even considered in your decision making. We're not shareholders or any company you're working with. You certainly don't care about the people or the homeowners in the areas that you're representing or supposed to be representing. It's a giant corporate scam. San Diego is a subsidiary corporation of course, California, a subsidiary corporation of the United States Corporation. And it shouldn't be that way. It's obvious to see any corporation, their goal is to make money, always, at the expense of everything. And I forget what they call it, externalities. That also, of course, they want to pass on any damage they do to be paid for by the public or anyone but their corporation. It's completely antithetical to the idea of buying for the people. Simply, that cannot be in a corporate government. So, there's other videos you can see. You should also see, there's one called Zeitgeist Addendum. There's different ones on YouTube. But the one you want to see, it'll say something about Peter Joseph. I think it says documentary in the title, Zeitgeist Addendum. And you'll know if you have the right one because in 6 minutes and 40 seconds, it will literally start talking about the World Bank and their document that they, well, the Federal Reserve, to be exact, and their document that they use here to do our banking system. And it's a complete and total scam.
Sir, as a reminder, this item is related to the consideration of a ballot measure.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And since I'm talking about government corruption, these are directly related because it's the same organization doing the same thing to all of us. So I think that pretty much says it. And nothing's going to change. These people will never give you anyone to select that will do anything, any of the people our parents want. And by the way, there isn't one parent alive that's not being paid by the government. That thinks it's a good idea that his kid can change his gender or her gender and they won't even be told. That is so absolutely shameful and outrageous.
I started the 5-minute timer here in council chambers going to those participating remotely, starting with 0522, if you can please unmute, 0522.
Yes,
please proceed.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, so I'm a little concerned. Of course, you guys want more taxes for the people, more taxpayer money.
Ma'am, this is about the proposed ballot measure for the San Diego Unified School District Board of Education elections.
What was that?
This item is about the proposed ballot measure for the San Diego Unified School District Board of Elections.
Oh. Well, I'm online and it's talking about raising the taxes.
That was the previous item.
That was the previous item. Okay, well, I've been holding for a long time and I just now got a turn to. So I would like to say something, and that is that you guys are increasing the taxes on everybody, on us. But the funny thing is, 7.75 of our dollars that gets taken away from us, but only 1%
ma'am,
actually
ma'am,
so that's really
just
wrong.
Please mute her for a moment. As a reminder, this is item 201, consideration of a ballot measure proposed by the San Diego Unified School District for the November 2024 election to amend the city charter regarding the election process for members of the Board of Education. All public comment should be specifically for this item and cannot be on previous items. We'll allow you another opportunity to speak to this item, but you will not be able to speak to previous items that were on the agenda or other items that will later be on the agenda.
He has hung up at this point. So that does conclude public comment on item 201.
All right, thank you, Clerk. I appreciate Santa Ana Unified's leadership for bringing this forward. In my opinion, this is a common sense measure that, if approved by the voters, will save taxpayer dollars and clarify the election process so the voters have a better understanding of who they're voting on and when. We've heard this at Rules, had a good conversation there. Again, I appreciate the partnership with San Diego Unified School District in coordinating with us on this to improve improve the election process and make it more cost effective. And with that, I will actually make a motion to move staff recommendations for sub-items A and B. As a part of sub-item B, I will move to assign the ballot measure arguments to myself and Councilmember Von Wolpert. That concludes my motion, and I will now go to Councilmember Von Wolpert.
Thank you, Council President. I will second the motion. I want to thank the Council President's office and SDEA for your excellent work here. Kyle, thank you for being here in person. Good to see you. Making sure that we allow the school district to spend its money effectively is one of the most important things we can do for education. The fact that this has been overlooked for years, I'm sorry to hear it, and thank you for bringing it forward to our attention. Running the same election twice when you only have two candidates to the primary and the general is a huge cost and burden on the school district. So I'm definitely supportive of this item. I'm looking forward to following the Council President's office lead. Thank you for your work on this to have valid arguments and support. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Von Wolpert. All right, we've got a motion and a second on the floor. I don't see any additional requests to speak to this item. Clerk, please call the roll.
I'm sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. That passes unanimously 8-0 with Councilmember Campbell absent.
All right, thank you so much. Let's now move to item S405, please.
Item S405 is an informational item of the Comprehensive Shelter Strategy. If you'd like to speak to this item, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing *9 at the raise your hand icon. Or if you are here in chambers, please be sure to submit your speaker slip to the highlighter. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, once our presenters are ready.
Thank you. Sorry I didn't get back in time. I am a yes vote on the last issue.
Apologies. Thank you for recording. We will record that. We've got that recorded. We will now turn to our presenters. Whenever you're ready, please introduce yourselves to the record and let us know which time you'd like for the presentation.
Thank you, Council President. My name is Sarah Jarman. We will need about 20 minutes, please.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Council President Ela Rivera and City Council members. My name is Sarah Jarman, and I'm the Director of the Homelessness Strategies and Solutions Department. Joined with me today are Deputy Director Ryan Robertson and Assistant Deputy Director Sarah Perry. Today, we are here to provide an informational update on the city's comprehensive shelter strategy. As a reminder, the department released the city's first ever comprehensive shelter strategy in June of 2023. The strategy was developed at a point in time and is a living document that is meant to be changed and updated to meet the evolving needs of the population. The original strategy defined the current city-funded shelters, inclusive of safe parking, outlined shelters in need of transition, and provided an analysis of the type and quantity of shelter beds needed in our region. Today's presentation will provide an update on our strategy and will include the results of this year's point-in-time count, recent shelter accomplishments, the city's current shelter inventory, upcoming changes in our shelter system, and an overview of our department's budget, future shelter opportunities, solicitations for new sites, and a summary of the collaboration we've done over the last year. To start, I will begin with the results of the 2024 point-in-time count. This year's point-in-time count reported a total of 10,605 individuals experiencing homelessness in the San Diego region. Of that amount, a total of 6,783 persons were reported to be experiencing homelessness within the city, with 3,294 individuals experiencing sheltered homelessness and 3,489 individuals experiencing unsheltered homelessness. It is important to note, however, that based on the guidance from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the city's two safe sleeping sites and four safe parking sites are not counted under shelter for purposes of this count, but rather unsheltered. This highlights an operational on-the-ground difference in the numbers presented. Overall, the city saw a 4% increase in sheltered and unsheltered homelessness compared to the year prior. As the map on this slide illustrates, 64% of individuals experiencing homelessness in the region were reported to reside within city limits, with the second largest part of the region being East County, representing almost 12%. The count also provides insight on the demographics that make up our homeless population. This year's numbers show that a majority of unsheltered and sheltered individuals identify as male, 69% and 61% respectively. 29% of unsheltered individuals and 38% of sheltered individuals identify as female, with other genders for unsheltered and sheltered individuals representing 1% or less per category. The point in time count also provided details on the racial demographics of the population, as depicted in the chart shown here. The last set of data I will share from this year's count is related to trends in family and youth homelessness. Compared to 2023 data, this year's count illustrated a significant increase in unsheltered families experiencing homelessness, which rose by 113%. Youth unsheltered homelessness also saw a major increase of 76%. There were also increases in sheltered homelessness. Families experiencing sheltered homelessness increased by 9%, whereas youth increased by 10%. The results of the point in time count provide important information on the populations we are serving and help inform the types of programs and services that are needed to offer the most appropriate resources to address their needs. I will now briefly discuss the Community Action Plan on Homelessness. Before we dive into an in-depth discussion on the city's shelter system, I would like to take a moment to mention the city's Community Action Plan on Homelessness. The action plan was adopted in 2018 and serves as a 10-year guide to addressing homelessness in our city. Last year, alongside the San Diego Housing Commission and other partners, we presented an update to the plan. The update identified the need for additional 410 to 820 crisis response beds for individual households and 55 to 100 beds for family households over the course of the plan, exemplifying the need for shelter expansion. While today's discussion is focused on emergency shelter options, we understand this is one part of a larger plan which includes other interventions, such as prevention, diversion, and of course, the construction of affordable and permanent housing. Moving along, I would now like to discuss what we've been working on over the course of the last year. When we brought forward the comprehensive shelter strategy last year, our goal was to achieve an increase of 600 shelter beds. In a little over 1 year later, I'm proud to say we have accomplished that and more. In total, we have added 934 options, including brand new programs and facilities, and the expansion of existing shelters. In August of 2023, the city opened a family shelter located at a former motel in Barrio Logan. The 42-room shelter is operated by Alpha Project and serves families with children. From program start through May of this year, the shelter has served 226 individuals, including 121 children under the age of 18, with 48 individuals exiting to permanent or other forms of long-term housing. In partnership with the State of California, County of San Diego, and the City Attorney's Office, the city also opened a new non-congregate shelter for survivors of domestic violence. This shelter, which is operated by SDCS, has capacity for approximately 160 beds and opened in April of this year. As of June, the program has already served 32 families with a total of 89 individuals. In the last year, the city introduced a new intervention, the Safe Sleeping Program. As presented in the original Comprehensive Shelter Strategy, in June of 2023, the city opened the first site at the 20th and B facility located at the city's Central Operations Yard in Golden Hill. This site is operated by Dreams for Change and has a capacity for 136 spaces, with up to two individuals per tent. The most unique aspect of the program is that couples, friends, or support pods can enter the program together and stay together, which is an option we do not have at many of our facilities. Following the success of the 20th and B site, the city opened a second facility located on city property at the edge of Balboa Park. Referred to as the O-Lot, the site is split into three tiers, with Dreams for Change operating two tiers, and the Downtown San Diego Partnership Operating 1. In total, the site has capacity for 408 spaces and offers access to restrooms, showers, meals, laundry, case management, and resource referrals. From July 2023 through May of 2024, the program has served 1,299 individuals across both sites. Program data also shows that of that total, 1,116 people, or 86%, reported to be sleeping in a place not meant for habitation prior to their enrollment into the safe sleeping program. This statistic coincides with what we have been hearing anecdotally, that the program is reaching individuals who may never have touched the system before. These sites are offering an alternative to traditional shelter options and represent the city's commitment to explore every opportunity and ensure no stone is left unturned. Before we move on to the next program, I would be remiss not to mention all of the departments who played a key role in getting these sites up and running. We are so grateful to have the support of General Services, Facilities Services Division, Transportation, Parks and Recreation, Public Utilities, Library, Special Events, San Diego Police Department, Fire Rescue, Engineering Capital Projects, Environmental Services, Economic Development, and Purchasing and Contracting, Communications, and the City Attorney's Office. It truly takes many departments to bring these up and running. As mentioned in the original strategy, the department explored opportunities to increase capacity at existing shelters. In August of last year, in collaboration with Alpha Project and the San Diego Housing Commission, 50 beds were added to the 16th and Newton site, and 12 beds were added to the 17th and Imperial shelter. The total capacity at 16th and Newton is now 326 beds and 140 beds at 17th and Imperial. I will now dive into our current shelter inventory. In June 2023, when the previous shelter strategy was released, the city reported a total of 1,784 beds throughout the system. With the additions of the safe sleeping program, expansion of existing shelters, and opening of two non-congregate shelters, the city's current shelter capacity is over 2,500 beds. This spans across over 20 different facilities, with sites varying in population. Over an 11-month time period, our city-funded shelters have served almost 4,800 unduplicated individuals, including 225 children under the age of 18 years old and 660 youth under the age of 25. 606 individuals have successfully exited to permanent or other forms of long-term housing options. Despite our efforts to increase capacity over the last year, we continue to see traditional shelters hover near capacity each night. In addition, our safe sleeping sites have averaged around 83% capacity from January through June, and we continue to see occupancy increase each day. For shelters overseen by the San Diego Housing Commission, 81% of shelter referrals remain incomplete, meaning an overwhelming majority of folks seeking shelter are not able to find placements. In alignment with the increase of shelter beds identified in the Community Action Plan, this represents an evident need for shelter expansion in the city. We simply do not have enough. Now let's discuss some upcoming changes to our current shelter inventory. As reported last year in the previous shelter strategy, there are existing shelters within our current system that will have to be demobilized in the future. To start, the Old Central Library's Women's Shelter closed last week. As a reminder, this shelter operated on a 180-day temporary use permit. The city is currently in the very beginning stages of redevelopment planning to convert this property into a mixed-use space for shelter and housing down the line. Rachel's Promise is another women's shelter that will be coming to a close at the end of this year due to redevelopment plans as well. As previously announced, Golden Hall, which currently has capacity for 270-some-odd beds, is slated to close at the end of this year. Again, the site operates on a temporary use permit, which is set to expire. The 16th and Newton shelter remains on the list due to the planned construction of affordable housing set to be built on the adjacent property. Our understanding is that construction has been delayed, and therefore the estimated closing date is to be determined. The 350-bed shelter at the Paul Mirabal Center is also set to close by the end of this year. This shelter will be redeveloped into a detox and sober living center, providing critical resources that we definitely need in our city. The two safe sleeping sites are also listed on here with to-be-determined closing dates, as both properties are on dedicated parkland and have temporary use restrictions. Lastly, the Seaheart Shelter in Midway also operates using a temporary permit which expires in January of next year. Our office is working with Engineering and Capital Projects and Development Services to provide the necessary upgrades to the facility in order to continue shelter operations. The shelter is on property that is included as part of the Midway Rising project, so it will need to be relocated at some point in time. In total, that brings us to 1,602 beds that will need to be demobilized within the next couple of years. Before we jump into what's to come, I would like to take a moment to discuss our department's funding plan. The chart on this slide represents the fiscal year 2025 program budgets broken out by intervention. Through fiscal year 2025 budget, the city increased resources for homeless shelter programs by $13.6 million over fiscal year 2024 shelter allocations. This commitment reflects the investment in meeting the needs identified in the Community Action Plan on Homelessness, as well as the implementation of a comprehensive shelter strategy. We shared this chart earlier this year during our informational item on our Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention, or HAP Round 5 application. This represents the city's investment in providing emergency shelter beds and how we continue to lead the region's emergency response by providing the bulk of crisis response beds. With that being said, we continue to work with and strategically collaborate with the county and the Regional Task Force on Homelessness on our HAP funding plan. We work together to ensure our plans are complementary of one another and not duplicative. As you can see from the chart of proposed allocations, we have worked together to expand our HAP Round 5 funds across various categories within the homelessness system as much as possible. As a side note, our applications are still under review by the state, and we hope to hear back from them soon. Once we do, we will be bringing the grant agreement forward to request City Council's approval. And now, I would like to turn it over to Renee.
Thank you, sir. Next, we will cover potential options for future shelter opportunities. As you will be hearing about in the next item, one shelter option we are proposing is the Hope at Vine Campus. We will provide more details during the following presentation, but to provide a brief overview now, the proposed Hope at Vine Campus is a facility located in Middletown. The site includes approximately 65,000 square feet of indoor spaces with an open floor plan allowing for flexibility on how the site can be creatively repurposed. Given there are two separate buildings on the site, including a multi-level floor plan, the vision is to have multiple separate shelters to serve a variety of clients. We envision the campus having a wide range of services right on site that can be accessed by program participants. Such services would include indoor restrooms and showers, office spaces for meetings with case managers and housing navigators, mail services, outdoor recreational spaces, including play areas for families with children if they're staying there, areas for pets, and a commercial kitchen to increase program efficiency and also provide an opportunity for workforce development partnerships. The city has a unique opportunity to design the space from the ground up, which will serve as a permanent resource for years to come. More details will be presented in the next item. The FY25 budget process allocated an additional $450,450 to the San Diego Housing Commission to expand family shelter bed capacity at the Salvation Army Family Interim Shelter. The San Diego Housing Commission estimates 39 new beds will be available this summer. This will expand the shelter's ability to serve families with a single mother as the head of household and will also add 7 single beds for women in a semi-congregate environment. The H Barracks site was originally proposed in last year's shelter strategy. The report identified 2 potential uses, including 2 sprung structure shelters and safe parking. In April of this year, the city announced it will be moving forward and utilizing the location to expand the safe parking program. The application to the California Coastal Commission also includes the opportunity for the development of up to 2 sprung structures if the city decides to activate that option. Phase 1 of the project is the safe parking program. This would include approximately 200 spaces for a combination of standard size and oversized vehicles. Through this project, we would be able to nearly double the city's current safe parking capacity. The program would include resources such as restrooms, case management, housing navigation, basic needs assistance, and referrals to other resources with the ultimate goal of connecting program participants to long-term stable housing. Phase 2 of the H Barracks projects includes the construction of 2 sprung structures similar to the shelters located at 16th and Newton and 17th and Imperial. Similar to those shelter sites, resources would include access to showers, restrooms, laundry, case management, basic needs assistance, and resource referrals with the goal of matching participants to housing. At this time, the city is not moving forward with that potential second phase and is currently activating the site for the purpose of safe parking. However, phase two is part of the contingency plan should the Hope at Vine campus or similar project not move forward. As mentioned in the original comprehensive shelter strategy, the department is in conversations with the San Diego Unified School District on the potential to utilize the former Central Elementary site as a new safe parking location for families with children. Upon initial assessment, the site could accommodate approximately 40 spaces to provide a safe space for families with children to park overnight and would be provided similar services as our existing programs. At this time, we are working with the school district on a lease agreement. This would be a temporary project as future plans for the site include the development of affordable housing. Our department performed an analysis of the current system to seek opportunities for expansion. It was determined that both the 20th and B and O lot safe sleeping sites have room to increase capacity by almost 200 spaces across both sites. This would bring the total safe sleeping capacity to just over 730 spots. The increase in spaces would require adjustments to the existing operating agreements and increases in the ancillary services provided on site. Based on initial assessments, it is anticipated that the annual program budget, including ancillary costs, would be an additional $900,000 at the 20th and B slot site and additional $3.3 million at the OLOT site. If we were to expand safe sleeping capacity starting today, the timeline to have this fully implemented would be around fall of this year. As mentioned in the original comprehensive shelter strategy, the department has assessed and continues to explore all opportunities for shelter expansion. The department worked with the Economic Development Department, who provided a list of 19 sites to consider. The department also presented all options it was assessing as a part of the original comprehensive shelter strategy. These sites remain potential options to consider and include properties such as libraries, warehouses, underutilized parking lots, and city-owned land. The chart on this slide and the next two slides provide a status update on where we are at with the options we've previously looked at. As you can see, we've made significant progress with the shelter options we shared last year. This chart represents the safe sleeping options we assessed and the implementation of two of the three sites. And lastly, this chart provides a status update on the sites we originally looked at for safe parking, with two sites currently in progress. Please note that these properties may also be considered for shelter and or safe sleeping options as well. In addition to all of the options we just described, our department continues to seek opportunities for shelter expansion. We are continuing to work with the Economic Development Department to assess properties for feasibility. In addition, we've drafted a solicitation to request proposals for privately owned properties that may be conducive to shelter, safe parking, or safe sleeping. Furthermore, the San Diego Housing Commission has released a solicitation, and we look forward to collaborating with them to evaluate any responses received. If council offices have any sites that they would like to propose, we are also willing to provide initial assessments of those. As we continue to search for new sites, our department will keep council apprised of our findings. Most importantly, we close our presentation touching on collaboration. The work that the city has done in the last year has captured the attention from cities and counties not only in California, but across North America. We have met with numerous jurisdictions stretching from Canada to Mexico and California to Florida, and had great discussions regarding new programs we have stood up over the last few years, especially the lessons learned. In addition to the jurisdictions on this slide, we have also proactively reached out to other jurisdictions to learn from their experiences. One common theme throughout these conversations is that the needs of these populations we are serving are ever-changing, and jurisdictions need to remain nimble and proactive when developing implementing short, medium, and long-term programs. We look forward to continuing to learn from and collaborate with other jurisdictions as we acknowledge that there is no one answer to solving this problem. Moreover, we look forward to working with our regional partners, including the Housing Commission, County, and Regional Task Force on Homelessness to evaluate the effectiveness of our programs, understand the needs of our populations, and work together to provide the resources necessary to meet the immediate needs of individuals experiencing homelessness in our community, with the ultimate goal of connecting them to long-term stable housing.
As our department continues this work in collaboration with other city departments and our regional partners, we remain committed to keeping the council updated on our strategy. We are proud of what we have accomplished in the last year, but we know there are many challenges to overcome and look forward to continuing our efforts. This completes our presentations, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Before we begin public comment, the agenda today includes not just this item as an opportunity to discuss the issue of homelessness, but the following item as well. It is important for folks to remind know that the item that will follow this one, the consideration of a lease, is not up for discussion during this item. So during your public comments, please keep them targeted to the comprehensive shelter strategy. It would be inappropriate to speak to the next item during this conversation, and we will have to remind folks of that and cut their time if they are not speaking to the item that is actually in front of us. With that, clerk, please begin public comment.
Thank you, Council President. I will be calling the first few speakers to come up to the front row, just like we did with the previous item. So if I can have Lori Saldana, David Roger, Joy Sunyata, DeForest Hancock, Catherine Rhodes, please come up to the front row. Lori, you have conceded to you by Matt Kearney. You can please raise your hand. Thank you. And Danny, you'll have 3 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you. So failing to plan is planning to fail. And so I'm pleased to see, and I put in support, even though this is just an informational item, because the city has failed to plan for entirely too long. And the results are obvious. On one page of the report, it notes that nearly 4,500 people had services under the existing programs, and of that, 606 people went into permanent housing. That's under 13%. That is a failure by any measure. And it's not just a failure of the people we know of, it's also a failure of people who just disappeared from the systems, and we can't even count them. We don't know how to count them. So I'm glad that this report is out and there's a strategy being developed, but for the thousands of people who have come to this city for support over the last year and beyond, and before that, it has been a dismal failure. And I think that's one reason why we're questioning, why is this coming up today, along with another agenda item of which we are not allowed to speak at this point. If you want to create a campus, good for you. It sounds like you're trying to create communities, because people have been pushed out of their communities. Why have they been pushed out? Because of short-term vacation rentals, taking naturally occurring affordable housing away. Why do people need an entire new community? Because their housing has been taken away by bad policies of the city that puts tourism and hospitality ahead of the basic needs of residents. Here are some constants that I heard some of these things mentioned, but I will tell you, as former chair of Assembly Housing and Community Development, we need professional staff, case managers, social workers, and you're going to have to increase that considerably if you're going to add a lot more shelter spaces. We need people who are trained and competent to deal with people who have PTSD and are dealing with medical and recuperating from medical needs. I just realized I turned in some photos, but I guess those shouldn't get handled, so this is a busy day. We need people who can counsel folks who are recovering from trauma and abuse, from domestic violence. We have so many families going into these shelters now. We need child care. We're giving child care to some of the most privileged, well-paid city employees, and we're not giving it to people who are struggling to find housing. We need child care for people, yet there are so many families who are unhoused and their parents are working, but they don't make enough to get housing. We need pantries for food. Forget this 900 calories a day that people are getting at the safe camp. We need pantries where people can go and choose what food they want. We need a Bill of Rights, so that people can go in and know they're respected and they have basic human rights. Right now, they give up their right to privacy, to safety, to security. Until you have something like this that every person signs and every staff member respects, people will not go into these shelters because they know that they are sacrificing their basic human rights.
Thank you for that concluding comment, David Rogers.